Greetings, Septimus. I hope that this letter finds you well and in good health. I want to start by thanking you for your generous contribution. I think it's honest to say that your generous gifts over the year have played no small part in allowing me to become the most prominent of judges here in Caesarea. Of course, I also think it's in no small part to my judicial wisdom that you have become one of the most prominent businessmen here in Caesarea. As they say, one hand washes the other, which must be why we're both so clean. But on that note, you know that widow who sued you a few months back, the one I said that, you know, technically, according to the strict letter of the law, she was right to seek compensation from you. But I said not to worry about it because, you know, she'd never actually succeed in bringing her case to trial. I wouldn't allow that to happen. And in a couple weeks, she'd get frustrated and give up. Oh, you know the one I'm talking about, the one I said she'd lose heart, that I could see it in her hands even from the first day that she knocked on the door of my office. I could see in those hands that were worn and bleached from washing other people's floors and folding other people's laundries. I said, those hands, they don't have much knocking left in them. Oh, she'd lose heart. That's what I said. I said it when she came knocking on the gate of my estate. I could see it in her eyes. I could see it in those eyes that were tired, not just from sleepless nights, but from only seeing her daughter just a few minutes each evening before she tucked her into bed, and a few minutes each morning before she sent her out onto the streets to scavenge. I said, those eyes, they are weary, and she will lose heart. I said she'd lose heart when I heard her voice as she wailed and cried out in the temple. And her voice grew weary and hoarse from begging God for justice as she beat her heart. And yet, God has yet to say something to me about her case. And so I knew she'd lose hope. I could smell it on her. And that's saying something, because I could smell it on her as she knocked on the door of my latrine. And I will tell you what, I was depositing a stinky deposit, and I could still smell it on her. The smell was like sickness and death, like she'd been rolling around in a leper colony. And I thought to myself, no one who smells that bad has good things going on in their life. She's going to give up soon. She's going to lose heart. And yet she persisted. She has persisted to this very day. I was entering the baths with Gaius and Claudius, and we had just disrobed and were stretching out in the steam when all of a sudden this widow just barges in, smiling and singing without a sense of decency for the men in there who were splayed out like stranded starfish. And we started hopping around looking for a toga or something to tuck between our legs. And these men are men of dignity. They have sent criminals to the cross. How dare she walk in on us like this? When we finally dragged her out and were dressed as respectable men should be, I said to her, what is wrong with you, woman? What is wrong with you? Why won't you give up? Don't you see? Even if I relent because you have worn me down and give you justice in this case, your life will stay the same. I've seen your hands. I have looked into your eyes. I have heard your voice and smelt your stench. So what? You get a few more coins to make the next few weeks easier. What does that change? What does it change for the other widows who will be facing the exact same situation? What does it change for your daughter who will grow up to be in the same exact world? And if you think through your knocking, you can drive me out of my office. If you think you can convince Herod or Pilate to replace me with some other judge, I have something to tell you. They'll just replace me with my friends. And they'll treat you exactly the same as I do. You think it's an accident I treat you this way? I do it because the people who put me in office, they want me to treat you like this. You can replace me, but that doesn't change them. that shutter up. For a moment, it seemed like I'd finally talked sense into her. And then she lifted up her hands. And she looked at them, and she said to me, "These hands may be raw and bleached from scrubbing other people's floors and folding other people's laundries, but when these hands scrub a stain off a floor, I remember all the stains from my soul that God has washed clean." And she said, "When my hands fold laundry, they come together. And when they do so, I take that moment and I give up a prayer of thanksgiving that I have this work to bring food home to my daughter." And in that silent moment of prayer, that brief pause in the day, I can hear my heart beating within me, like it's God inside knocking to remind me that the heart is still there. And yes, when I go home at night, my eyes are weary and tired, but they get to look upon my daughter even for those brief few moments, and how precious those moments are. For in those moments, I see my heart not within my chest, but outside of my body, a heart that I can hold, that I can bring close to myself. And before I put my daughter to bed, I hold her close as she says her prayers, and I can feel her breathing against my chest. And each breath she takes is like God is knocking at my heart, asking me to open up, that the spirit I have in there, that all the love I feel for her might be opened and set free, unleashed upon this world. And she said, "Yes, my throat may be hoarse and sore and cracking and fading from all the shouts and the prayers, all the cries I lift up to God in my suffering. But as I cry out to God, I give to God all the pain and all the frustration, all the sorrow. I pour it out to God and I throw it in his face until the breath has gone out of me and I collapse. And then when I have no more words, I can hear only the pounding in my chest. And it feels like God is trying to crack me open with that knocking. So all the worries that I've been holding on to can leak out. And suddenly my heart feels light again." And she said, "Yes, I may smell. And it is the smell of sickness and death, and it's because my neighbors are sick. And they are dying, and no one remembers them. They are forgotten except by me. And so after I've tucked my daughter into bed at night, I go to their house and I change their bandages and I change their bedpans, and all they have to thank me with is their feeble hands that touch my head or my shoulders with a word of blessing. And those feeble hands laying on my shoulders, they feel to me like God is knocking. Like God is knocking on my heart, asking it to open up so that it can be filled with the strength of all the prayers they offer up for me." The widow said, "All those struggles that you saw as knocking the heart out of me, those were prayers. Those were prayers knocking at my heart to remind me that it's there, to remind me to open it up and to be filled with the strength of God's Spirit, to be filled with the peace of God." And then Septimus, she said to me, "How can I stop knocking at your door when God won't stop knocking on my heart?" And I said to her, "You really do believe this, don't you? You really do believe that there is some God who would care about justice for someone like you, for a lowly widow?" And she said, "Yes. But justice not just for me, justice for you also." And she said, "My rabbi has been teaching me about God's justice these past few weeks. He's read to me from the book of the prophet Jeremiah. And he explained how the prophet Jeremiah tells us that we as humans, we think that God's justice means that the people we don't like will be torn down and the people we do like will be built up. But that's not God's justice. That's ours. And Jeremiah says that God both tears down and lifts up God's own people. No, God's justice is different. Jeremiah says that God is making a new covenant with us. It is a covenant in which God will write God's law not on tablets of stones, but on our hearts to dwell within us, that we might be God's people and God might be our God. God is preparing a covenant where we no longer say to one another, "Know the Lord," because each of us will know God. Know God in our hearts from the least of us to the greatest. And God will forgive our sins and remember them no more. And so my knocking at your door, it is a prayer. It is a prayer for God's justice. It is a prayer for God's justice to be in your heart. Prayer for you, for I have seen your eyes also, and I have seen how weary they look. I have seen that they are too tired to read the word of the Lord printed on the page, and that when you see me, you close your eyes because you don't have the strength to see God's law written in stone. And so I have come knocking on your door as a prayer, and I have brought with me today just this loaf of bread and a song, in hopes that the sharing of this bread and the sharing of this song might be a prayer also. Might be a prayer in which you hear God knocking on your heart. Septimus, I tell you, I have worked many long years for Rome. And I have seen the might of this empire from the British Isles to the Persian border. I have seen roads lead across three continents carrying armies that march at a single command, and yet I will tell you, never have I seen such power as I saw in this widow grounded in prayer. I guess I write all this to explain to you why you will find enclosed along with this letter that generous donation that you gave me. I'm returning it to you. It should be just enough for you to cover the damages that I have found you owe this widow. Now, I realize without your support, I will likely lose my position as judge. And I accept that. I accept that because I have accepted another invitation to have dinner at this widow's house along with her rabbi. Apparently, he's the kind of rabbi who's willing to have dinner with both smelly widows and corrupt judges. And he's gotten quite a reputation for doing so. Maybe you've heard of him. His name is Jesus, and he's from a town called Nazareth, not too far from here. I want to invite you to join us for that dinner, because you see, this life, it can be a weary one, and it is easy to lose heart. I know I lost mine. And so I pray that this Jesus teaches us to make every moment of this life a prayer in which we might hear God knocking at our heart, to remind us that it's still there, to remind us to open it up and let it be filled with God's strength and peace, until every heart knows the Lord from the least of them to the greatest, and there is justice on this earth. Amen.